Hello, everyone, and good evening, and welcome to Marty Oakley TS Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 146 and counting. I want to welcome everyone aboard. I hope you enjoy this show tonight. I want to welcome back all the returning listeners out there. All you new listeners, I'm just going to go over a couple things with you about Blog Talk Radio. My name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the host of the show. So all you new listeners out there, there is a chat room that's open right now, and you're more than welcome to join in. And if you want to sign in for Blog Talk Radio, and you go up to the right-hand corner and press sign in. You can sign in from Facebook or Twitter and scroll down past the comments, and then a chat room will appear. All shows are recorded live every Tuesday and archived on Blog Talk Radio. So if you want to listen to any of them, there's going to be 146 tonight after tonight's show. Just go to blogtalkradio.com and search Voices Carry for Animals or TS Radio, or you could even search my name, Debbie Dahmer, D-A-H-M-E-R, and then go to the link, the show you would like to hear, and wait a minute to download, and it will play. You can share and listen 24/7, 365 days a year. And also, we'll be taking calls. If anybody wants to call in and have any comments or questions for the guests, you can also listen to this show from this number if you want to keep it in your contacts every week. It's area code 917-388-4520. Press 1 to speak, and that area code is 917-388-4520. Press 1 to speak. I just try to refrain from any noises in the background, any televisions, radios, and you're more than welcome to come on board. There is a couple other things. If you want to be a guest on my show, please email me at voicescarryforanimals@aol.com with a small bio, any website, Facebook page and groups, videos, anything that you can hand me over, and you're more than welcome to come aboard. And if you also know someone, it'd be a great guest, because I stand up for all the animals out there in need from some form or matter, because we are the animals' voices out there. We must be heard, because without us speaking and fighting for them, they don't stand a chance. It's just similar to the children and the elderly. Everyone, please do your part, because if we do nothing out there, the problems is just going to escalate and get worse. So let's, you know, make this a better, safer, and healthy world for all, because these animals deserve to have their rights granted, not violated, and that they need to live in peace and love and happiness, serenity. You know, that it's not asking much. They need to, you know, live a calm life. And so many of them out there is on, you know, animal cruelty and getting tortured and viciously attacked. And look at pit bulls discriminated against, BSL. So we got a lot of changes here, and I can't do it by myself. That's why I'm on the radio. I know there's thousands and thousands of me like out there. And please step up to the plate, do your part, and just go take the, you know, foot in the right direction. I have some phone numbers I want to give out. The White House comment line is area code 202-456-1111. You can leave a comment there, or you can even get on whitehouse.gov and submit an email to them. They'll just ask you your name, address, and all that, you know, personal stuff, but get it to them, get your voice out there, because our voices do matter, and all lives matter, including the animals. And here is another one where you can find your senator or your state representative, and that's 202-224-3121, and that area code is area code 202-224-3121. If you press 1 for the senator, press 2 for the representative, and then put your zip code in, and you can reach them. Now, this number, you could call 24/7 after office hours. You can still leave a message. So get your voice out there, everybody. Your voice does matter. your signatures matter. You know, everything matters. You have that right to speak out, because on the silence only makes the problems worse for the animals. But I wanted to welcome back Laura Lassiter. She was on Voices Caring for Animals number 114. Welcome her back tonight. It was a great show with her, a great interview. She's an animal communicator, author, speaker, writer, and teacher. And everybody, there is a big article on the PPJ Gazette on this show. Tonight's a promo. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette online, and that's ppjg.me. And just, you know, down at the bottom of the article, you can also share the articles on the right-hand side of the under blog stats. You can press follow, and you will be alerted on any new article or new podcast coming up. And also on Blog Talk Radio, across from Marty Oakley's name, press follow, and every time there's a new show coming up for Voices Care for Animals, you will be alerted in your primary email. So please spread the word. And I want to go ahead and bring our guest on, because I know this is going to be another great show. Just want to welcome Laura Lassiter back. Laura, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Debbie. How are you doing? And thank you for having me back.
Hey, you're so welcome. You know, I always invite guests back and everything. I just don't like to have them on one time and that's it. I like to have, you know, keep in touch and bring them back on air, because, you know, the more exposure, the better. And the more voices and action takers, the faster changes get made. But you want to go ahead and refresh the audience. You know, how you got started. You can start out with your web page or your Facebook page. Go right ahead. You're live and on the air. Go right ahead. Yes, go ahead.
We're live. I got started when I was born, because I was very blessed in living in a household of my mom and my granny, sister. I had access to two great aunts, and we kind of lived an intuitive lifestyle. And so I never gave it any thought about talking to animals, rescuing them, you know, doing all kinds of things. And so as I got older, you know, my formal education is in finance and actually commercial real estate development, but I left that corporate world several long time ago to really devote my whole life purpose in teaching people how to communicate with animals, energy healing techniques for them, really giving them insight into who their animal is and how we can all, you know, what the animals are doing for us to make us better people, and really giving voice to the animals instead of playing what I call sometimes psychic hotline, because that's just what, you know, that's what I've chosen to do, Debbie. My heart is with the animals and making sure that I can do everything from being an advocate to a rescue person to a teacher and writing about them, you know, just really opening people's eyes and expanding their awareness of who these animals really are and, you know, how we can help them.
Yeah, and that's so important, too, because, you know, they can't speak out for themselves. They can't fight for themselves. You know, they're relying on us to take care of, you know, all their needs and make it a better life for them, or, you know, all the problems out there. You know, there are good, you know, animals out there are getting treated fairly and good and everything. And then there's ones out there that are getting neglected, abused, viciously attacked. I mean, it goes on and on. But you're making a positive impact out there, Laura, what you're doing. You know, just, you know,
well,
be yourself,
yeah,
and have
you
that
are
big
too,
heart.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you are too. It's amazing, because the other day, you know, I saw on Facebook where these two guys down here in Florida actually hooked, I guess, a shark, and they were dragging it behind a speedboat. And the outrage, you know, they started a petition and everything trying to hold these guys accountable for what they did to a shark. And I thought, you know, how far have we come? Because now, you know, when I was young, I'm in my 60s, you know, even the SPCA, where I came from in Tulsa, had like these barrels outside. You know, they didn't really have anything formal. And it was a great facility for what it was when it was. And they did the best they could for them and everything. And now as the years have progressed, we've seen, you know, groups that represent or rescue the purebreds. But we've also got all kinds of groups that are rescuing the kind of the mutts, you know, the ones that don't have the bloodlines, that are just ordinary little dogs and cats and everything. And now we're getting into the wildlife. So from, you know, my perspective, things are changing dramatically because it's becoming repulsive. It really is now in our society to see these animals treated the way they are, even in third world countries. And people are taking more action, I think, now, Debbie, than ever to stand up and try to do, as long as they know about it. That's the key. See, they've got to know about it because a lot of times, even, you know, I was the animal communicator for Big Cat Rescue for over 2 years here in Tampa, Florida, which is the largest accredited sanctuary in the world for the exotic big cats. And when we would do the education and the tours and everything, it was amazing how 99% of the people were not aware of how the cats are abused and how they're used for photo ops. And, you know, there's feeding requirements and, you know, there's weight limits that they have to fall under in order to have photo ops. So they starve these cats. But once people started to become aware, we started educating and telling them where they could go to help them. It's been amazing, you know, because they wanted to take action. They just weren't aware of it. So I think, you know, we really have to keep educating people because I don't think that there's, with the internet and all the social media and everything, we're becoming more aware of the abuse that's kind of always gone on with these animals and the treatment. So it's really wonderful that we've got the tools that we've got in social media now, and also to, you know, to share so that we can network and get these animals their forever home.
Yeah, stop the cruelty. Animals should be, you know, living in, to what I feel is, you know, serenity, calmness, you know, happiness. And we're just like with the tigers and the elephants and the, you know, and the circuses and everything. That's no way to live. You know, they have to, it's not their choice in the matter. You know, they're pretty much forced into something that they don't really have no say-so about. You know, let them live in peace because we all share this earth together temporarily. We got to make the best of it. And just like the tigers and everything, it's just, you know, give them their life. Give them, you know, let them live freely, born free. That's what I always say.
Yeah, but a lot of people, you know, in different cultures, different parts of our country too, you know, back where I'm from, Oklahoma, you know, Texas, they, you know, there's a lot of states that still haunt, and it's kind of like an initiation into manhood, if you will. And now there are families out there that hunt for, you know, their dinner, and I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the ones that just go out and hunt or trophy hunt, for goodness sakes, just because. And so I think from, you know, all the work that I do from with sanctuaries and corporate clients and in addition to personal clients, I've seen over the years that people just really, in addition to not being educated, you know, we're dealing with culture, we're dealing with tradition, we're dealing sometimes, honestly, just with greed, because especially, you know, there's a huge, especially for the wildlife and everything, as you're probably aware of, for the big cats especially, but bears, whatever, you know, those are big prices. that are put on their head. And so, which makes things even worse, let alone the ones that, you know, the especially the dog and cat meat trade. That's just, it's amazing, you know, even Switzerland, some of the places that you wouldn't think do this. But the awareness, again, you know, these things are being exposed and people are really taking action, and where they wouldn't before. I know a lot of people that are, you know, are really motivated now and they're taking action because they're also seeing that as we kill the animals, we're killing ourselves. You know, they're a real good reflection, Debbie, of what's going on in our personal life, not only individually, but as a society. And so when we, you know, when you were saying, you know, the animals have a right to be here, well, yes, they do, because, you know, actually, they were here before us. And,
yes, they were.
You know, and they'll be here after us, probably. You know, mm-hmm. I was watching a thing on Chernobyl the other night where, you know, the people perished, needless to say, animals did too. But the wildlife, they went back in, and they're amazed at the wildlife now that has come back in. And so animals have a unique way of surviving, and I think we can learn a lot from them in our culture today and where we are with everything that's going on. And but the key for me is to do, you know, you got to start locally. And there's real good rescues that are local that, you know, run on shoestring budgets. I work with them all the time here in the Tampa area, and they don't get a lot of press, but, you know, they are feeding the little kittens that are 2 weeks old every 2 hours. The trap neuter, you know, release programs and things like that. So there's really a lot of people that I think are trying to do something, you know, just even if it's volunteer, sign a petition, or, you know, just tell other people or share a, you know, retweet something or whatever that really strikes their, you know, strikes their particular chord, whether it's whales or, you know, a dog or, you know, the feral cats or whatever. So, in the midst of all of this, I am seeing more awareness, you know, than ever before.
I totally agree there, especially, you know, through social media, just word of mouth, you know, some stuff goes, you know, viral, mm-hmm. and you know, keeps going. So everybody out there, you know, you see something, you might not be interested. This isn't to say if an animal's up for, you know, on death row, you know, share that animal on your timeline mm-hmm. to help save life, because it means so much, you know, because they don't give enough time to get them out for adoptions, you know, or to safety, some of them, and they're put to sleep. So anything out there, maybe it's a petition or, you know, whatever it is to help an animal in need, please do so, because that's meaningful right there. You know, do your part, because it's, you know, that's, I mean, I do more than just the radio show, you know, just try to sign petitions. I make those calls and, you know, write emails and stuff like that, because the more action takers out there and voices, the faster the changes can be made. And Laura, you're making a great impact on what you're doing. It's incredible. And you want to tell us about your website? Go right ahead.
My website's lauralassiter.com, and you can go there and find out about me, some of the, you know, a lot of the work I do, especially in the healing modalities. And also the classes that I've got coming online, which really focus around the relationships that we have with animals, and how they really are reflecting our behaviors. There's some science to back this up, but when people really become aware, because when I talk with them, you know, do the animal communication sessions, a lot of times, you know, my clients will say, well, you're describing me. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, because your animal is reflecting you. And so, and this carries on at the macro level in addition to the micro level, meaning that your own individual animal companion. But if we look at the animal shelters and all the homeless animals, we can translate that and how we're treating them and what we're doing with them in our society. You know, like how do we treat the homeless people? You know, what are we doing with them? The animals are really great, Debbie, at showing us, you know, when we become aware of this, improving how, you know, where we are lacking as a society and perhaps individually, and things that we can do to, you know, to correct that. And also, like, and especially like the big cats, you know, or any zoo or anything, you know, when you go and you look at an animal in a cage, well, you know, the big cats have always taught me that we live in cages too. It's just they're invisible ones. And so because of our limiting beliefs, because of, you know, us not being maybe sometimes open-minded or, you know, very resistant to change, we you know, we live in these cages that most of the time we're not aware of. And so they're very, this is a really incredible way that they show us how to be better people, you know, how we can kind of improve what we're doing and our life in addition then to making their lives better. Because we're not going to treat an animal a certain way unless we're treating ourselves that way, collectively as a society. Because as a society, you know, I still, you know, there's a lot of room for some heart action here and compassion. Okay?
Yes.
And so, you know, as we and as we do that, we open up our heart area, you know, and it expands and we become, we just start coming from our feelings more than our head, and we see things then with our hearts, which is more like what we've all got in common, even with the animals, you know, that we, when we really look in the eyes of an animal, you know, we see the spirit, the soul of that animal. We know that it has feelings and that, and the science now is documenting, you know, fish have feelings, fish, you know, and all this. No matter what it is, people are starting to wake up that these animals, contrary to what science has told us for the last 200 or 300 years, that, you know, they don't have souls, that, you know, they don't have feelings. And voila, you know, I guess that gave us license to experiment on them and do things that have been just horrendous. And now, you know, we're busting those myths, if you will, Debbie. And people, of course, animal lovers, you know, we don't need any science to tell us they have feelings and they've got souls. But for people out there that, you know, have never really given that much thought, you know, that's, this is like really new information. Mm-hmm. And so when they really think about, well, instead of leaving a dog, you know, tethered outside, chained up in the rain, cold weather, whatever, you know, with it sleeting and snowing and everything, once they become aware that, well, you know, my dog really might be cold out there just because my parents, you know, left our dogs out all the time, you know, and whatever, you know, maybe, you know, maybe that wasn't the right thing to do, you know. So I think we're really seeing a shift in where we've been and where we are now, especially generational, and how things have been done. And, you know, people are starting to kind of wake up that, you know, hey, these animals, for the most part, are really smarter than we are because they've been around, Debbie, forever. You know, they've evolved and they've got a lot of wisdom to share. They've got, you know, they always, a lot of them survived these, you know, tsunamis, earthquakes, whatever. You know, if we just learn from them how they do that, how valuable is that information?
That's right. Hey, they are smarter than what we think. You know, just look
absolutely
at us. I believe that. It's just, you know, the other day I was at a friend's and they had some horses, and it was a good one there, Laura. I was at the gate and I had him some carrots, and they was not real far away, but they was, you know, close enough. So I yelled over and I said, come on, I got some carrots, you know, and they all came, four of them came towards, you know, me, and they like parallel parked so I could feed them.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a big bang out of it. I was like, see, they understood me. I held the bag of carrots up. They came over, you know, and they were just getting, you know, fussy because, you know, one wanted me to, you know, they all want to try to get the carrots at once, and you can't do that. But it's just like the communication there, you know, petting them, giving them a big kiss on their face and
mm-hmm.
talking to them. They love that. I mean, all animals love to, you spend time with them, you know, pet them and talk to them and communicate, and, you know, whether it's toys or, you know, pets at home, not just feed them, let them out to go to the restroom, you know, and this and that. They want you to spend time with them. And that bond, if you let it happen, open your hearts, it's amazing, it's magical, you know, and it's the closest, because now they're a, you know, when they walk through your door, your pets at home, they're your furry loved ones now, or, you know, loved one, and so they, you know, they don't get to, especially dogs and cats, they really don't get to live that long, you know, so we got to spend as much time with them as much as possible, because they're so precious and innocent. You know, they just, they're amazing. I love animals. They're just so, you know, you just give them that chance. And you know, if you know anybody out there, audience, that's looking for a pet or pets, furry, new furry loved ones, best friends, visit your local animal shelter and help save a life or lives, even foster, you know, volunteer, take the dogs for a walk, donate, that's tax deductible. To your local animal shelter, you know, bring them treats or food or, you know, collars, blankets, whatever makes their life easier out there, because they so well deserve, you know, they're just, and the healthy adoptable animals too, right, Laura? I mean, just all over the place. They need a TLC home.
Oh yeah. I think if, you know, if we just think about, and most everybody I know, you know, they say, well, I don't have time. Well, we really don't. We do have time. That's a choice, you know,
yes.
Because,
yes.
You know, we do have time. So it's a choice of where you're spending your time and what you make a priority. But if you think about these animals, especially the ones that have been confiscated in lawsuits or drug deals or whatever, and at most shelters, you know, they're put in isolation. They're put in an area where they don't get attention because they're not going to be adoptable. They're not being adopted out, so the shelter doesn't give them any attention. And so, you know, they, and dogs especially, you know, they're kind of the, I call dogs kind of their connectors, heart connectors, you know, because more so than sometimes some of the kitties and everything, but dogs really have to have that interaction, that engagement. And, you know, people can go to their local shelter, even if it's for a couple of hours a week, 1 hour a week. You know, you don't think, well, that's not very much time. That's not hardly worth the effort. Oh, yes, it is. Because let me tell you, when I was at Big Cat, and I've done a lot of volunteering for shelters, I do a pro bono work with a lot of rescues that, you know, the girls will walk death row, and I'll be giving them readings, and we pull them off the e-tables. So that's euthanasia tables. And so that, you know, depending on what that animal's looking for and if it will be a good fit for the rescue and everything, and just a little bit of attention, because the general environment for most shelters is one of fear and death. You know, they smell that, they're worried, they're confused, they're, and it's not quiet by any means. And so, you know, it's just total chaos most of the time. And so 1 hour a week can make a difference. I know even at Big Cat Rescue, you know, those cats, just saying hi, you know, acknowledging them, you know, just acknowledge the animal. You know, thank them for being there. Thank them for, you know, just being who they are. You know, that's, and you may not think that very much. That is enrichment. That is really, you know, that's probably the only time that animal through the day is hearing kind words, especially in a shelter. And I'm not putting shelters down. They're overcrowded. They've got all kinds of, you know, things that they have to do. We definitely need shelter reform in this country. There's no doubt about it. That's one of my huge pet peeves. But, you know, just doing that. And what's amazing is, Debbie, when we start doing that, it really allows us then to be kinder to people even, because then when we see somebody who maybe is less fortunate or whatever, you know, that animal comes to mind. And if we make that a habit of just giving a selfless act of kindness, you know, to an animal, then that usually translates into other areas of our lives. And so that's, to me, how we kind of get this chain reaction going, where, you know, it's a lifestyle instead of whatever. But, you know, an hour a week makes a huge difference. You know, go read to an animal. You know, you can take a book. You can read to them. I read to one of the big cats, for, you know, while he was recovering. They love that. You know, they'll just sit there and, you know, and you can even improve your reading. You can, you know, probably get some reading time in. It's just incredible how creative we can be if we just make it a priority to make a difference, you know, in an animal's life.
Yes, because, you know,
it
what?
It doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't. It's not that difficult. You know, and making a positive impact on this world, not a negative one, but a positive. Because you know who really thanks us is the animals, Laura, each and every one of us for what we're doing. And we know that we find that they're important. They lighten up our lives, all of them, in some form or matter, you know. Just like, you know, some of the animals you'll never see, you know, up front in your whole life, but they're out there. There's so many of them, and they deserve to be, you know, have their rights granted, not violated, and not to be ignored or overlooked or, you know, swept under the carpet. They're very important. Their lives do matter. And everyone out there, do your part. Spread the word, you know. Recruit your friends and your family, your spouses, or, you know, teenagers you got, co-workers, neighbors, whatever you can do, and tell them, you know, hey, please do your part, because the more of us that is doing our part, the faster changes will be made. Because only a handful, it'll take us forever, you know, and that's some of the laws. That's why it takes so long, because if we had more, then we could get there, you know, and do our part. Because I was talking to some activists the other day, Laura, and I said, you know, that on Facebook, we got that SpongeBob SquarePants, and it's amazing. I mean, you know, it's amazing how many likes he has on his page and action, shares, likes. I counted up, it was over almost 53 million likes and counting. And the shares,
wow.
I mean, it was like, wow. And, you know, that's okay if everybody wants to do that. But wouldn't you like to see that on the animal advocacy Facebook pages, that many likes, and the children and the elderly? You know, people helping out, something that's very serious. SpongeBob is a cartoon character, a sponge that come to life. We can escape from our real reality every day, but that real world is out there, and it's nothing's going to change unless we get involved, each and every one of us, to make a positive impact. And I'm going to, you know, do some more search, because I'm like, you know, one post I seen on there was 45,000 shares, and I was like, wow, that's incredible, you know. And just for the animals, if they could, you know, hey, go put the post over there, grab some of the people, say, hey, we need you over here, you know. This is not a cartoon world with animated characters. This is the real deal that we're fighting with, we're battling with on a lot of issues out there, from human, environment, and animals. So we are very overwhelmed with issues, everybody. So please do your part. Contact that state legislator. You know, let them know how you feel. Your voice matters. Make an appointment. You know, search on these Google or any search engine. Find your state representative. Get to know them. We go out and vote. And, you know, rush to vote. So we need to please keep in contact with them. Your voice matters. Your vote matters. Let's make a positive change in this world for all, not just, you know, a few and far between. Because so many times I hear lawyers like, well, nobody cares. You know, they're not going to do anything. It's profit before people, profit before animals. You hear all these excuses. I'm too busy. I don't have time. We all have time. Some kind of time. It doesn't take that long. I'm so fast at, you know, getting on all these social media sites. I run up 5 tabs, and whatever I can share, it goes out there. And after I get done, Lord, my head's spinning because I'm so fast. But I'm doing my part, you know, doing my part.
Yeah, it really doesn't take much. And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, if we even stop to think about, okay, personally, I don't know anybody, including myself, that I'd be crazy after a week in a shelter. You know, I mean, I really would. In a kennel or a cage, and with all the noise, you don't get much sleep. You know, you're fearful, you're stressed. You've probably been abused, abandoned, or surrendered, you know, and gosh knows how old you are, you know, 14 years old or whatever and everything. And, you know, these animals don't know what's going to become of them, Debbie. They really don't. They're very, you know, I would be too. I'd be fearful, you know, what's going to happen to me? What's going to, you know, whatever. And this is the thing. People don't usually, because when I was working with some of the municipalities on spay-neuter programs, getting, you know, voucher programs and things like that, trying to get those implemented, I had a heck of a time with county commissioners and everything, because every time, you know, they would sit and say, well, how is it, what's in it for us, you know? And so that gave me a lot of insight into how to approach animal advocacy, where, especially when we are looking at, because if you say, well, you know, it's good for the pet population, not as many animals are going to die and everything else, for the most part, that didn't get much attention. But when I went back in and said, look, you're going to save a lot of money on disease, risk of disease, you know, I just started lining out things that how it would impact people. And then we started getting the attention. Then we started getting the action and everything. But it wasn't until we went in to show people how they could benefit by helping the animals instead of going in just strictly on here's how you can help the animal. Unfortunately, that I think for the most part, we're still in that mentality. And so whenever I work with people or anything, you know, I always, again, even my clients that in my workshops now, you know, I'm explaining, for instance, how misbehavior is actually communication. Misbehavior is not something that, you know, we give up on the animal and we take it to the animal control or animal services, and because, you know, a lot of times they don't even last 3 days. And so if we can look at, instead of disposing of something because we have, you know, that's how we've been programmed in our lifetime, you know, we're a disposable society, then if we can look at, again, what that, you know, that animal, what's going on with this behavior, you know, and it's communication. And it is usually communication about themselves. You know, the animal is trying to help the person realize maybe something they're not doing right in life, or that they can make a change to make themselves better, their family better. And I'm telling you what, it's amazing how these things are now shifting people, but they're more ready for it too, Debbie, because even last time we talked, you know, I think it was over a year ago, that people still weren't kind of where they are now. I think people are ready for solutions, but they don't know exactly how to do it. And like you said, well, you know, I'm just one person. How, you know, what difference is that going to make? It makes a lot of difference. One person can make a lot of difference, and especially in an animal's life. And the bigger thing is you can go to bed at night knowing in your heart that you took responsibility and took some action. You know, and I think really as a society, that's where we're headed. You know, we're going back to taking responsibility for our lives and not just kind of having, you know, lay it off on somebody else or thinking somebody else is going to do it or whatever. But knowing that that animal, you know, is suffering quietly. Like I said, I don't know anybody, myself included, that can go through what these animals go through on a daily basis and still stay sane, you know. And more than that, they still trust us and they still love us. That's the whole key. No matter what, yeah, you know, these animals are trying to teach us about love, Debbie. And
yes, they are.
So they are. I mean, that's really their whole, they're just little love balls in action, you know. And so if we can just even try to entertain the possibility that they're trying to teach us how to love again, be loved, you know, oh my gosh, what a difference would that make?
Oh yeah, that positive, you know, difference, like you said, one person can make a difference, and together,
oh, yeah,
we can rock this world for the animals. I mean, just by getting on this air and rocking the airways for them, they so well deserve, because that mental cruelty's got to go, the mental suffering, the torture out there, the bullying, the slavery, it has to disappear off of this earth. And we're their only hope. You know, we're their only hope to get out there and get the word out. And the awareness is out there through social media, my news feed on Facebook and Google Plus and Twitter, Pinterest. I mean, they're all slammed with information. So just keep spreading the word out there and open your eyes, everybody. Step up to the plate, because these animals need our help now, because every day, hour, minute of suffering is too much for them. We, us as human beings, we can't even handle a headache for 10 minutes. You know, so we could just imagine what these animals, some of these animals are going through with the suffering they have to go through and unliving, you know, their unhealthy living conditions. So let's all stand together as one, because it means so much. And I want to see if anybody out there would like to call in, if any comments or questions for the guests. Area code 917-388-4520. Press 1 and I'll let you in. And that area code is 917-388-4520. Press 1, and you're more than welcome to come on board. And if you have, or just try to refrain from any noises in the background, conversations, TVs, radios, and you're more than welcome to come on board. Join us when, and, you know, a human chain for these animals. You know, a big human chain across the United States and the world, standing up and speaking out for them. And I'm going to put that on my Facebook wall, Laura.
Well, and I think another thing too, Debbie, is that, you know, when people see an animal abused, or they're seeing them in the heat with no water or any shelter, or, you know, things like that, you know, you pick up the phone and you start making calls. You know, you take it, but you need to call the local, you know, try to find the local authority, whether it be a sheriff or the police or whoever it is in your county or whatever. But just don't, you know, post it and then forget it, or not do anything at all, you know, thinking that, well, you know, I don't want to get involved or whatever. Well, you already are involved. Let me tell you, you're involved,
yes,
because you're a human being on this planet. And,
right,
you know, so this non-involvement doesn't work, you know. And
that's right.
But to take action for that animal, you know, and sometimes, and, you know, well, I'm in rescue. So, you know, a lot of times we go in and we rescue and then we ask questions later because, you know, that can make a difference between an animal surviving or not. And especially when they've been in homes. I spent 9 months at Katrina and, you know, there wasn't any kind of structure that we had. We weren't prepared, of course, but, you know, we were rescuing and we just didn't even think about it, Debbie. We just went in and we were getting those animals. Our priority were those animals, you know, getting them triaged, whatever it was that they needed and everything, getting them to a safe place. And, you know, but people just need to, you know, get involved when you see something. And if you don't know how to do that, there's information on the internet. Your site has it too, where, you know, if you see an animal being abused, here are the steps to take, okay? But you got to follow up. You just can't start something like that and then just kind of, you know, expect somebody to, you know, respond because, as you know, even as we get these laws changed, you know, there's different levels of laws, and you think you're signing the same petition all the time, but you're not, because once it passes a certain stage at a certain level, then it has to pass another stage, and you think, okay, I just signed that, you know. Well, you did, but now it's at a different level, and you have to keep signing that until it gets passed. A lot of people are not aware of that. So there's different stages even for these petitions that they have to go through in order to, you know, get the attention of the different, whether it be Senate or House of Representatives or whoever, you know, we're dealing with at, you know, the federal level or even the local level and everything, Debbie, that you just keep signing, you keep, you know, you follow up, you keep the pressure on because, unfortunately, that's kind of, you know, that's who they listen to. Whoever's making, you know, the most noise a lot of times, and just not in a bad way, just, you know, very politely, but at least reaching out, letting them know that, hey, there's somebody out here that cares for that dog that doesn't have a name or that cat that, you know, doesn't have a name. You know, they matter.
Yes, they do. And, you know, just like with the how hot it, I mean, well, I look at Florida, all these states that are their record highs in heat and everything. If you see an animal out there in a car or a child, then with the windows up, it's common sense that please out there, if you see something like that, report it. There's a lot of states where you can call 911 and bust the window out. Just check with your local state and see. And also, if you see a dog chained out in this heat, or even if it's snow or cold all day long, that's animal cruelty, right, you know, in the first degree. You know, I've seen photos where they're tied to a tree, not that much chain, no food or water. That is so heartless and cruel. And so everyone out there, in these hot months, and then what's coming next in the winter is the cold ones, protect these animals, prevent them from dying, prevent them from getting sick, or, you know, it's terrible what's going on out there, but whatever we can do as human beings, you know, is a plus for them. You know, put yourself in their feet or paws and just say, hey, I'm going to be their voice, and this is not okay. This is not the right thing to do here. And take action. That's the key.
That is
the key, right? Mm-hmm. Is the key to unlock the door to all changes to be made. And positive changes, not negative, positive. Because together
we can
all make a difference. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, and not thinking that somebody, you know, you see something like that and think, oh, well, somebody will call on that, you know. Well, yeah, that somebody really honestly needs to be you. Because, again, somebody else might call on that, but in case they don't, you know, personally, I don't want that on my consciousness or conscience at night. And that, you know, it's like feeding these cats. You know, I had another stray cat come up the other day. We've got a neighbor out here where I live. He keeps getting these calico cats, and he has them declawed, turns them out when they're in heat, and it's crazy. And so this is the second one that I've rescued since I've been here 6 months. And she's skin and bones, Debbie, just absolutely skin and bones. Mm-hmm. And so I go get what I figure, you know, people are going to feed the cat, and they all love Fancy Feast. I know it's not a great food. I'm apologizing for that now, but, you know, to get a cat trapped and everything else, I'm using Fancy Feast. And so, but how much is a can of Fancy Feast, Debbie? You know, it costs less than $1 a day to feed a cat, and it's meaning that it's not much. It's not much a day to help an animal. And, you know, and in that animal's world, they're not asking for anything. All they're looking for is just some food. You know, they're not doing anything to us or anything like that. They just want, you know, something to eat. And, again, something like that can even make a difference. Or put out a bowl of water, even if, you know, even if, unless you live in a community that they don't let you feed, you know, cats or whatever. But, you know, I've got water out for the birds and everything else. But I also put water on the ground because even the wildlife that comes through, you know, in these hot days, even though we've got water around here, you know, I always keep water, you know, a couple of bowls outside for, you know, for whoever's passing through, because, you know, that's going to make a difference in their life. And it's those little things. If we can just think of the little things, Debbie, you know, people don't have to do big things to make a difference for these animals. It's just those little things like that. But cumulative, you know, it's tremendous for them.
That's right. It's you know, looking out for them, too, not, you know, just for, you know, because we know our pets inside our homes are got it made. But there's ones out there that don't, and you're including wildlife, too. They, you know, lend a helping hand, whatever you can do. You know, make their life better, make them happy and content, you know, not suffering. Or, because this heat out here is so hot and so, you know, I mean, the heat index is up there. And so, you know, if it's hot to us, it's very hot to these animals. And even walking on the blacktop and the cement, I mean, it is just like, I was out barefoot the other day and it was so hard to even walk on the cement. It was.
I know down here in Florida, you know, I see people walking their dogs at 3 p.m. They've got shoes on, dogs don't, you know, and I'm like, I'll say something, you know, I usually get some kind of body language, you know, thrown back at me, but still, you know, I do it in a very nice way, but I just make them aware, you know, usually from my car, saying, hey, you know, think about your dog's pads. They can burn, you know, and people get real offended by that. But you know what? The animal is glad I did. You know, I said something because it's obvious they're not thinking about it, or they wouldn't have their dog out there at that time of day. And, right. You know, their pads can burn, you know, but, you know, they don't think about it. So, you know, we can speak up without being obnoxious, because I think most people expect you don't have to be, and we're not. You know, we just have a lot of passion that I think comes through sometimes, that we really are trying to make a difference and making people aware and getting them motivated to take action. But it's always about the animal, you know. There's not really an agenda here to profit or to do anything. It's like you said, okay, guys, you know, can you even devote 30 minutes a week? What can we do in 30 minutes to change the life of an animal? And then if we start teaching our kids that, of course, kids are usually pretty good about all of that, you know, and they want to do that. Then, you know, we start changing things for the better for, you know, and that just ripples through society, Debbie. And, or for Christmas, you know, at Christmas I always take to the local shelter. I always, you know, PetSmart usually has these big stockings and all kinds of toys and everything. And I take them that. I know when my dog passed 2 years ago, you know, I kept his toys for about a year. And St. Francis here, Rescue, I work a lot with the cat division, but and they're always working with the urgent cats of Tampa Bay. You know, they'll pull those cats a lot. And but the dogs on the dog division, Debbie, that are on death row, what I started doing is I gave all of Mikey's toys to the dogs on death row because they're sitting there. They don't have anything, and they feel it. You know, they feel their time is getting close. And if they just have a toy to cuddle with and everything, Jen took pictures of that, and I cried, you know, because it was like, okay, Mikey's toys, they had a lot of sentimental value, but wanted me to keep his toys. You know, we're sharing. And those little dogs, they didn't have any toys. They didn't have anything to keep them company, you know, to take their mind off of, you know, everything that they're being exposed to every day. And when I saw that, Debbie, it was just incredible because, and it takes so little. That's the thing, you know. People are very hard to please, and they're very demanding. And animals, it doesn't take anything to make them happy. It just takes such simple pleasures in life, you know? And so it's those types of things, too, that if we think about, you know, a little dog on death row now has a toy to cuddle with, whether he ever walks out of that shelter or not, you know?
Yeah. And it's going to be meaningful to them, too. And, Nora, we're down here down to a couple minutes. I really enjoyed this other interview with you, another great show, and looking forward to having you back on again, okay?
Thanks, Debbie. This is
wonderful. Hey, anytime. And thanks for coming on. It's such an honor to have you on again. Everybody, please visit. She's also on Twitter. Just look up Laura Lassiter, Lassiter. Mm-hmm. And also on Facebook, look up Laura Lassiter. Also on her website, www.lauralassiter.com. Give her your support, please, and please spread the word. Because on these Facebook pages and websites, it's unlimited how much, you know, attention could get to it. And people, you know, just spreading the word. You know, because if you don't tell them about the word, if it just sits there, you know, not that, the same group of people will see it. So spread the word out there. Voices Carry for Animals is on every Tuesday, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Mountain, and 5 o'clock Pacific. Live and recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. And everybody, thank you all for listening. Wednesday night, Debbie Coffey, she's a horse advocate, Wild Horse and Burro Radio, and it's called Wild Horse Wednesdays. Marty is on Whistleblowers. Marty Oakley, a wonderful advocate out there, producer. And Fridays is Agent Orange, the Vietnam Vets Advocates. Please check that out. And also Elder Abuse and Guardianship Abuse on Sundays. And how you can find this is the PPJ Gazette Online. And that's www.ppjg.me online. And also I have a Voices Carry for Animals support group on Facebook. Ask to join, and I post, you know, news articles and petitions and websites and other Facebook pages. And you're more than welcome to join in. Over 7,100 members. So we can always look for more. Thank you to Paul's Call Show for promoting the show. Fans of animal rights, Paul's and the Law, Take Action, help ban gas chambers and shelters. Voice for Animals, they keep promoting the show every week. Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone. Have a nice and peaceful evening. And may God bless you all. And thank you so much, Laura. And be in touch, okay?
Thank you,
Thanks
Jeff.
For
Thanks
awesome
so much. God
show.
Bless.
God bless you,
thank
too.
You.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.